We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
After Trump stated that he would not waste his time, Joe Biden announced that he was backing out of the debate as well. It's like a group text. Once one person bails on brunch, the floodgates open and everybody jumps ship. They're like, oh, I got something to you. I forgot about that. It's too bad for the people who were going to speak at the town hall because they were really looking forward to having their questions ignored on national television.
Oh, man. Wake me up when it's 2022. Hope your Friday's going well. The sun is out. It's a warm day. It feels like late August out there. Jorah's off today. DJ by my side, producing, punching weird buttons on the board right now, trying to keep the guardrails up. Yeah. Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
Which button do I press now? What does this one do?
Press them all.
Which one starts the weekend early?
Just don't launch any missiles, okay? So I voted by mail, absentee ballots. I had to request a ballot. That's what we have to do in Minnesota. Some states, what are there, seven states, I think, where it's universal. Everybody automatically gets a ballot. Minnesota, not one of those states. I had to go online, plug in personal information, social security, last four of social, or driver's license. And then the ballot arrived. I filled it out, I voted, sent it back in, and then I went just a couple of days ago to mnvotes.org, and there's a little tab that says track your ballot. So you plug your information in again, in my case, the last four of my social, and it did in fact confirm, yeah, your vote has been counted. So for people who are worried about voting by mail, and I understand the arguments for showing up in person, I get that. But it works. At least it worked for me. I think it works for the vast majority of people. And people who say, well, there's voter fraud. The Brennan Center for Justice, a nonpartisan think tank, calculates the rate of voter fraud in three elections as between 0.0003% and 0.0025%. There have been 31 credible allegations of voter impersonation out of more than a billion votes cast in the U.S. between 2000 and 2014. That's according to the Loyola Law School that did a deep dive. And speaking of deep dive, we're going to be spending most of this hour with Secretary of State Steve Simon. He's joining us in just a couple of minutes to answer some questions and to answer your questions. If you have a question related to voting, you're maybe concerned about voter intimidation, whatever, text the question. DJ will check out all the questions that come in. 651-989-9226. DJ, you haven't voted yet by mail, have you?
No, I have not. I love that we can. And I've talked to a few people who are skeptical of mail-in voting and early voting and these things. And my response is like, well, yeah, and one day you had to take your horse and buggy to the polling station in whatever town you're in, and like it's 2020 now, so we do things online, we do things via the mail. It's like that will always change as society changes. So it's great. Let's find good ways, and it feels like, you know, based on the stat you just said, we've found good, reliable ways where very few people have abused them. So I'm all in for that. That being said, my voting place is less than a mile away. our tradition is usually to walk or go for a bike ride up there and vote together. And this year it'll be in masks. And I'm just going to do that. So I will vote on Election Day, and I'll be happy and proud to. But I love that folks are able to vote in a variety of different ways. And I have family that live, you know, that are American citizens that live all over the globe as well. And they also have ways that they can vote early or vote absentee. And, you know, I think of military members or lots of different people that need to do that. And I love that that's available.
We got these computers. We should probably use them.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But your horse and buggy analogy rings true, but I think it comes back to change. You know, it seems like many of us, and I'm no exception, you know, we have trouble with change. Yeah. Well, this isn't the way we do it. And, well, yeah, but that evolves. I think we have to be open to change.
Well, and I think I'm right that anybody that lives in the United States can go to their local polling place on voting day. That's still true. That has not changed. There's additional ways, but that has not changed.
And I think you can go now. I think those polling places are open now. We know just the person to ask these questions. Secretary of State Steve Simon talking voting next. Paul Douglas back with you on a Friday afternoon. Some breaking news today. It made national news, a Washington Post story, talking about a company called Atlas Aegis recruiting a large contingent of former U.S. military special ops personnel to guard polling sites in Minnesota on Election Day as part of an effort to make sure that the Antifas don't try to destroy the election sites. That's according to the chairman of the company, Anthony Caudill, who says it's for protection, not intimidation. My understanding, it's illegal in Minnesota for people other than voters and election staff to be within 100 feet of polling sites. And I think I know just the guy who can answer some questions that are coming in right now on the text line. Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon. Good to have you back, Steve.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So how do you answer this story in the Washington Post? I'm sure you're sick of answering the question, but again, intimidation is not going to be tolerated near these polling sites. Am I correct?
You're correct. We have, fortunately, some really specific laws on the subject in Minnesota. So as you said in your lead-in, you can't get within 100 feet of the entrance, even, of a polling place unless you are authorized to be there otherwise, unless you're a voter, unless you're someone assisting a voter, unless you are an election judge and so forth. You just can't do it. And so anyone who thinks they're helping law enforcement or helping to keep order, that's just, that law is going to be strictly enforced. They're not going to be able to do that. And so, look, we've always had really good experiences in Minnesota at polling places, absolute minimum disruptions. The courts, law enforcement, others understand that the polling place is supposed to be, and our laws make it, kind of an oasis of calm. That's a phrase that a court once used. And I have every reason to expect it's going to be that way this year. I don't know what this outfit is trying to do. Leave that to them. And the Washington Post wrote about it. We'll see how real it is or whether it was designed to get us talking about it. I don't know. But I'm quite confident in Minnesota. We have the tools available to make sure that the voting place and the polling place will be that oasis of calm to the extent we possibly can.
Well, I sure hope it is on November the 3rd. I'm just curious, can you get by on a technicality? If somebody is standing 105 feet away from a line of would-be voters with a bullhorn or an AR-15, whether they're, you know, Antifa or right-wing militia, is that okay?
It isn't, and that's the good news. Even if you're outside of 100 feet, we have a really great and strong law, bipartisan, by the way, law that's on the books that reaches a really wide array of categories that can be considered voter intimidation. I don't have the statute right in front of me, but it's pretty sweeping and says, look, and it's pretty common sense, too. Don't do anything that would have the effect of communicating, you know, danger to someone or a threat to someone, which it seems to me that someone brandishing a weapon even 101 feet away probably would be. That would be up to a court, obviously, but we have the tools in place. We really do. And as you say, Paul, left, right, it doesn't matter where it's coming from. The point is we have the tools. We're not on the fly here in Minnesota, and law enforcement is well aware of them. And by the way, just to reassure your listeners, you know, it takes 30,000 election judges to put on a general election in Minnesota. That's a small army, and they are trained in detail about exactly these laws. So they understand as well. This isn't new to the election judges and the people who make and the machinery run so smoothly every election day.
Secretary, do we have enough election judges right now in the state?
It's looking pretty good. I don't want to jinx anything, but we regularly, very often, check in with counties and cities about how they're doing. And as of this point, you know, 3.5 weeks out, they feel pretty good. Some of them are just tying up loose ends. There are a few communities that are in need of particular political party folks. And just so your listeners know, there is some segment of the election judges for which there is a party balance requirement. Not everyone has to declare a party, and that declaration is private anyway. No one can know about that. And there are some, you know, deeply red areas that are looking for Democrats and some deeply blue areas that are looking for Republicans. But that tends to resolve itself most elections. So I'm cautiously optimistic. We got to keep our eye on it because we don't want last minute drop offs. One of the things that happened during the primary season when COVID was just hitting in other states like Wisconsin and Georgia was they hired enough people. They trained enough people. That wasn't the issue. It was at the last minute there might have been a spike in a particular area or a bad headline, and a bunch of people said, I can't do it. I just have to decline to serve. So we're working on that issue to make sure we have kind of a cushion or a reserve force in place at the county and city level so that if that happens, they're covered as well. And they're feeling pretty good.
Secretary of State, I'm just curious, back to the issue of intimidation. Everybody now has a cell phone, just about everybody, on them. If somebody is in line and there is any attempt to intimidate, who should they call?
Great question. First, go to the election judges in the polling place, who, as I've mentioned, are trained on exactly this, on disruptions of all kinds in the polling place. It could be from another voter. It could be someone trying to gain entrance in an unauthorized way. They're trained on this, so go to them, and they're the folks who run the polling place. Also consider going to local law enforcement. It could be, depending on where you live, a local police department or a sheriff's office. You could even escalate, calling the FBI. They're very interested. This is, after all, a federal election, so they have jurisdiction over that. So there are all manner of local and national law enforcement that you could contact. They are all on the same page, as are we. I have spoken just in the last 24 hours to both multiple federal and state law enforcement authorities. And I can tell you they're on this, as you'd expect them to be. And I was very pleased that they've already been having discussions way before this Washington Post article came out. And so I have confidence in them as well.
Okay. I got my vote in, absentee ballot. I was able to go on and track my ballot and see that my vote counted. One of our listeners says, if I send in the ballot today, I'm assuming they mean if they request a ballot today at mnvotes.org, I assume I'll get it in time to send back and get counted. Is that a correct assumption?
Is a correct assumption, yes, especially because this year we have a different and more forgiving kind of rule for voters who vote by mail and return their ballot by mail. This year and this year only, it's kind of a 2020 special, very on brand for this unorthodox year. We have a rule in place just this year that says you can postmark it as late as Election Day. It doesn't have to get back by Election Day. You can postmark it as late as Election Day as long as it gets back within 1 week after that on Tuesday, November 10th. And what that means is, theoretically, you could get it in the mail, let's say the day before the election, and that would be enough time. We're 3.5 weeks out from the election. That's plenty of time by any stretch, even with postal delays, to get your ballot back in time to vote it by Election Day.
So let me get this straight. Absentee ballots can be counted up until November 10th. In many of these local and state races, we're not going to know on November 3rd who won, right?
Here's how I would put that. That's tricky, and that's a fair question. It's true that by definition, we won't have all the ballots in and counted until a week later on Tuesday, November 10th. Two things about that. Number one, just so everyone knows, that is very much by design. That's not the result of someone screwing up or being slow. That's how the legislature designed it this year and how the courts have designed it in combination, I would say. And so this is the plan. This is the way it's supposed to go down in Minnesota and in many other states. Second, I don't think it's the case that just because we won't have all the ballots in for a week that we'll all be left standing around wondering who won all the offices. I suspect and I predict that in the large majority of cases and contests, we're going to know early on. We'll know either on election night or pretty shortly thereafter who the winners are. And the news media, you and others, will be able to call those because we're going to provide information on the outstanding number of absentee ballots. So in a given legislative contest, let's say on election night, candidate A is ahead by 500 votes. And what if we can also tell you on election night or shortly thereafter that, hey, there are 300 outstanding absentee ballots in that particular jurisdiction, meaning 300 that went out to voters but haven't come back yet. They have a week to get it back. Well, there's one where you and your colleagues and others can probably call that race, right? I mean, she's ahead by 500. Even if all 300 of the outstanding ballots went to her opponent, we know that she's won. We won't know for a week by how much she's won, a lot or a little, or what percentage, but we'll know in pretty short order that she won. And I think that's a hypothetical, of course, but I think most cases will be like that than they will be of the nail-biting kind where we're waiting for literally the seventh day at the 11th hour to figure out who won.
Okay, I appreciate that clarification. That makes sense to me. We're talking with Secretary of State Steve Simon, and we want to get your questions. Text us your questions for the Secretary right now, 651-989-9226, part of our Friday Deep Dive with Secretary of State Steve Simon. More questions and answers coming up next. Paul Douglas on a Friday afternoon, thank you for tuning in. This is part of our Friday Deep Dive, where we take the better part of an hour and focus on one issue, trying to look at one issue from as many angles as we can, and obviously let you decide what to do about that. Right now, we're talking voting today with Secretary of State Steve Simon, and we have some breaking news. Apparently, a federal judge has just ruled in Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District. It does, in fact, have to be held in November, despite the death of the third-party candidate, Adam Weeks. And I know you're still digesting this, Secretary, but any reaction?
Well, this is my first reaction. And I've just learned of the decision, and what I can say is that we will always honor, of course, the outcome of a federal court case. What is not known at this point is whether there's going to be more to it, will there be an appeal, and I've got to reserve judgment on that. But for now, we have to assume that we know the state of the law is that race is going forward. And so everyone who lives in the 2nd Congressional District, as of right now, as of today, please continue to vote in that contest. You should vote all contests on the ballot if you can, but please continue to vote in that contest for United States House of Representatives. That's all I can really say at this point.
Okay. We appreciate that. We're still trying to digest the implications, but once a federal judge has ruled, I guess that's what's going to happen. One of our listeners has a great question, and I thought about this too. She says, or he says, I filled out my mail-in ballot, and I've changed my mind. Can I still vote in person?
Yes. The answer is you can, but here's how you should do that. Now, you say you filled out the ballot. The question is, has the person mailed it in and has it been counted already? That's a different story. But if you've just filled out the ballot and you say, hey, you know, I had this ballot. I ordered it at home. It's on my coffee table. I filled it out. I don't want to mail it in. I want to go in person either early, so you can do that any weekday between now and election day at your local elections office, or I want to go in on game day, so to speak. I want to go on election day. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Obviously, don't do both. That is a felony, but you can change your mind. And you can say you do want to go in person. And you don't even have to bring the ballot with you. Just go to your local elections office beforehand or on election day, explain the situation. They will obviously zero out that other ballot. There's a barcode tied to it. It's like canceling a check in that respect. Both votes obviously won't be cast and counted. But yes, short answer, you can change your mind.
Secretary, another question. What is being done to ensure that people don't vote for deceased residents? I think what they're trying to say is that deceased residents can't vote. In other words,
right.
But my understanding, unless a deceased resident applied for a ballot, there's absolutely no way somebody who's dead could vote.
That's right. That's exactly right. Maybe what the voter or the caller is getting at, or the texter is getting at, is what if someone votes and then dies? And unfortunately, that happens from time to time, and we deal with that, and the counties and cities deal with that. We actually run all votes and voter registrations, for that matter, through multiple death indexes. Yes, such things exist. not really a happy topic, but there's a Social Security Death Index, and then there's a Minnesota Department of Health, basically a death index. So we use both, and determine, as we must and should, who has deceased, so that their ballots, if intercepted, will not be counted.
Secretary, I think I know the answer to this. I mentioned it. What is the website to check if your ballot has reached the poll? It's mnvotes.org, correct?
That is it. And that's a great one-stop shop for a lot of things. But that is a particular feature that you mentioned that people really love. Because with all the talk of the U.S. Postal Service, I can imagine people saying, look, I don't want to just throw my ballot in the mail and say a prayer or hope that it got there or wonder if it got there, and you don't. If you go to mnvotes.org, there's a ballot tracking function, just like an Amazon package, and you can determine the specific day that it arrived, and you'll get a notice saying, in essence, yep, it arrived, it's been counted, or it's been processed. And that's great peace of mind to a lot of people. You don't have to wonder, you can know.
Yeah, I did that personally, and it did fill me with joy that my vote will be counted. Here's another question. I saw a woman wearing a face mask that said Trump in big letters across the front. Is that okay for her to wear at a polling place, whether it's Trump or Biden or whatever?
It is not. And there was a U.S. Supreme Court case that actually arose out of Minnesota that was decided a couple years ago that really drew some lines there. And the rule basically now is, the only thing not allowed in a polling place by way of political stuff, banners, badges, buttons, masks, anything, is you can't have something that shows the name or depicts the candidate who's on the ballot that day. So no to a Trump mask or a Biden mask, but if you have your old Norm Coleman mask or a T-shirt or an Al Franken cap, that's okay. They're not in office, or at any rate, they're not on the ballot that day. So that's okay, but you can't have a depiction or a visual depiction of either their face or of their name of a candidate that's on the ballot that day.
A Vikings mask is fine, right?
That is just fine, yes.
Okay, good. Here's one, getting into the weeds a little bit, but I thought this was interesting. I'm in a precinct of less than 400 in rural Minnesota, where we do mail-in voting. Please have Steve talk about this. On Facebook, I see many people who don't even know they cannot go in and vote in person this year who live in areas like this. It has been lost since 2008, but apparently recently implemented in many locations. I'm giving this to you unfiltered. I'm trying to decipher this as well. But do you understand the gist of this question?
I do, and actually, a mild correction, it's been around longer, a lot longer than that. Since 1987, so 33 years, we've had a law on the books that says this. If you're a township of any size, but they're typically small communities, or if you're a city of 400 or fewer registered voters, not people, but registered voters, so if you're a small place, basically, you qualify, if you want, to get rid of your polling place and to have everyone in your jurisdiction vote only by mail, where for every election, they automatically get a ballot sent to them. And we are now over 200,000 Minnesota voters who live in those jurisdictions, typically in greater Minnesota, in rural areas. And many, many more this year, and really over the last several, have adopted this. They can always go back to. They can say, hey, we didn't like that experiment. We want our polling place back. That's fine, too. But that's up to a township board or city council to decide. And it is true that some residents don't realize that. Maybe they just moved there or haven't voted in a while, and they get this ballot and say, well, I didn't request this. But in essence, if you live in those places, you're going to get one. But there still is an option, by the way. There are some people who live in those jurisdictions and still say, nope, I don't want to do that. I want to do it the traditional way. I want to go someplace. And typically the place to go is the county seat of that county. Not always, but traditionally that is the place to go. And again, if anyone has questions about that, mnvotes.org has answers to those kinds of questions, too.
Hey, Steve, last question. Can my husband drop off both of our ballots in person, or do we have to bring them in person?
Yes, with an asterisk. The rule in Minnesota is any individual can only drop off three other people's ballots, their own and three other. There is a cap. There is a limit, not just per day, but period. So spouse can drop off other spouses as long as they're not at their three-person limit. If spouse has already dropped off two neighbors and a child's, then that's it. Cannot drop off the other spouses. So it's three and three alone. So the answer is yes if they haven't reached their limit.
That was a good question from a listener. Thank you so much. Hey, Secretary Simon, happy hour coming up at 5:50 here on CCO. Briefly, What are you happy about?
I am happy about the fact that Minnesotans right now seem really fired up to vote on all sides of the political spectrum. People understand that the election is important. The numbers aren't lying in terms of registrations and people ordering ballots. And I just think, as usual, we are number one in the country in voter turnout. That again, none of what we've gone through seems to have dampened that. I mean, it's been a rough 6 or 7 months for this country and for this state. And yet, despite that, people are indicating at least that they're going to show up in really large numbers. And I think that's a really good thing.
Proving once again, we are in fact above average. And I'm biased. Thank you, Secretary. Really appreciate you taking the time today. And best wishes. Stay safe out there.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You bet. Secretary of State Steve Simon, part of our Friday Deep Dive. And we want to keep this going. If you have some suggestions for topics, things we can spend the better part of an hour on, and get your questions, make it interactive. We'd love to hear from you always. 651-989-9226. Text us your ideas. When we come back, the one and only Mike Max talks sports next. Little bit of Rush. We're all rushing around. Some cases rushing around online. Michael Max is at a high school football game, Maxie?
I am. The season has started. I think this is the first game of the day. I'm at Minneapolis Patrick Henry, where Minneapolis South is playing Henry right now. On just a gorgeous day, you know, this feels like the first game of the season that usually happens Labor Day weekend because it's so nice out here.
Yep.
They've made some changes. There's no fans in the stands in the city conference, Minneapolis City Conference. Unless you have official business here, you can't be inside. And so you got a whole bunch of people outside the stadium. There's fencing and they're standing on vans and whatnot and watching the game, but it's just great to see high school football back here. And Henry and South in 14-8, 35 seconds left in the first half. Henry trying to go in for a touchdown here to take the lead before the half. So it's been fairly entertaining, except a lot of penalties so far.
One little play-by-play from you, Mikey, while you're at it.
Can I do it?
Yeah.
Can I give it to you here? Because I think we're about to run a play, but yeah. We keep on having penalties, and it seems like every play there. Okay, so here we go. Ready, Paul?
Yeah, go.
Henry comes up to the line. They're in shotgun formation. Call it pistol. Two men wide to the right. He gets his signal. It's not an audible, and we had another penalty. Okay, timeout. They call the timeout. I was about to make my debut in play-by-play, and the coach calls a timeout. Okay.
Yeah, I know. That's how life works. Speaking of penalties, I watched the game last night on the NFL Network, and are there more penalties this year, or am I imagining it?
Good question. I haven't asked about that. I wonder if I don't know if there are or there aren't. Last night's game was a little bit different because at first you thought Tampa had it, and then Chicago comes back. Chicago didn't play particularly well, but they played well enough to win. And where I am out here, the buzz right now, because I'm on the north side of Minneapolis, is Tyler Johnson, the Minneapolis North, not far from here, Polar, who became a favorite target of Tom Brady last night, in the first half at least. And that's a good sign for a rookie. Played really well. Cordero Patterson was the feature player for the Bears. Of course, he's a former Viking, so it had a couple of antennas there that you could relate to last night. And Chicago found a way to win. So I don't know if there were more penalties or not. I don't know why they would be up or down. There should actually be fewer, because there should be fewer communication mistakes this year because there is no crowd getting in the way. So you would think there'd be fewer penalties this year, but I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know what the numbers are.
Hey, I'm curious. I'm looking at one of my favorite betting sites, and the Seahawks are up by 7. They're favored by 7.
That's a big number. Yeah, that's a big number, even if you're going on the road. And that tells you what they think is that Seattle's a prohibitive favorite in something like this. And I don't know if...
oh, boy. What happened?
Got another penalty, pass interference at the 1-yard line. Seven's a big number. I was there a couple years ago when the Vikings played there. Seattle's got a nice team. Even with defensive backs back, et cetera, I don't think the Vikings are built to stop Russell Wilson with the kind of rhythm that he's in right now. So we'll see, but when they put it at 7, they might as well put it at 20, because that's about what they mean in a game like that.
I hope you're wrong. I believe in miracles. But
you never know. You get off to a good start. You know, the Vikings' whole game plan is going to be try to run the football and eat the clock so that they don't give them any snaps. But they're not really built that way either. They're built more to explode as a team right now. So, they need to get 30, 35 points to win this one.
Hey, Mikey, what's on Sports to the Max tonight?
Hang on one second. Ready?
Yeah, go.
Formation. Henry with the football. 28 seconds remain in the first half. Inside draw, and that will. He is stopped short of the goal line by Minneapolis South. It'll be fourth down and decision time for the head coach. Okay, there's my play-by-play. Tonight I got Corey Souter on. Gary Wilson, the former track coach, about them eliminating the sport at the University of Minnesota. Larry McKenzie is going to join us from Minneapolis. We'll talk about Tyler Johnson and more. And Diane Neff, who's very busy coaching kids in individual skating right now.
Very cool. I will be tuned in. I hope all of us are tuned in for your show. Always learn a lot of stuff I didn't know before. And you also... What I appreciate, Maxie, you also have encouraging, uplifting stories. You highlight the good people doing good things. Here in the news media, we often don't do that, but I love the fact that you strive for balance. You balance the bad news with the good news.
And there is a lot of good news.
Hey, I was going to ask you something else. Oh, if you did do, would you prefer play-by-play, or would you like to be the color commentary guy?
Color. That play-by-play is too hard. There's too many names to know, too many formations, and you got to have perfect diction, and I'm not into that, Paul.
and just the grasp of statistics, right? I mean,
I'm not. Those color guys are really good, though, like the ones like Chris Collinsworth and Troy Aikman. I mean, what they do to study and break it down is just unbelievable. And, it's a lot of fun when you get a good one there that they can take you inside. Okay, Paul, do I get one more?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Pistol formation, bat split wide right. This will be the last play of the first half. 2 seconds left. Henry's going to go for a touchdown in the lead. They're going to throw for it. They go to the end zone. Incomplete. South.
Oh.
With the lead.
Oh.
Now you know I don't do play-by-play.
Hey, keep practicing. We're all practicing, all right?
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good one. Soak it up. DJ, what did you say to me? I'm sorry, I didn't. I heard you in my ear, but I didn't really hear you.
Well, I reminded you that we're doing the happy hour, and I was going to ask you to ask Mike Max for his happy hour, but he's gone. Maybe we'll just replay him calling that fourth down play. I think that's close enough to.
I
Mike
think
Max's
he was in his
hour.
Happy place
yes.
when he was doing the play by play. Very cool. All right, when we come back, you need to hear what Anthony Fauci said about Thanksgiving. Safe, not safe? Well, it depends. Hear what the Fauci had to say. That's coming up next on News Talk 830 WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.